This is such a famous gospel. How many have heard this gospel before? Raise your hand. Yeah. And the reason it is because of that wonderful question that's asked, who do you say that I am? And oftentimes, much like today, someone's homily will often go to that question because it's an important one. But there are some elements about this particular scripture passage that we might overlook. And the first that we often overlook is the very first sentence. It says that Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi. Why does Matthew think that that's important? Well, Caesarea Philippi happens to be a region where the city is built upon a 10-story wall. So there's kind of this massive 10-story wall, and then the city is on top of that. And the temple in the city was made of marble. Yeah. Was made of marble and precious stones and what have you. And it was rededicated to Caesar, who thought himself as a god. Moreover, the wall, that 10-story wall, had little niches in it that people had carved out to place in the niches symbols of their other gods that they worshipped. So Jesus is very intentional. Everything he does has a reason. So he stands in front of this enormous wall in the region of Caesarea Philippi and says to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Now mind you, this is the wall that supports all these different beliefs, all these gods that people are worshiping, all these important individuals, if you will, that people look to. So when he asks the question, you can imagine the kind of shock or horror on the faces of the disciples, like, what's he asking us? I mean, what's the right answer here? Because, as you know, Jesus often asks his disciples questions that they can't answer. And then they have to figure it out. And when they do, they're praised for it. And when they don't, they're corrected. So he says, who do people say that I am? And Peter blessedly says, you're the Christ. Now at the end of the passage, he strictly forbids them to tell no one that he's the Christ. There's an interesting aspect of this gospel that Jesus sets the stage perfectly to be able to speak about his identity, or have them speak of his identity, and ask and confront us with the same question. I wonder, in this day and age, right now, today, if Jesus were to do this again, or let's say it was even for the first time, what would be the backdrop for him, like Caesarea Philippi was back then? Would he stand in front of St. Peter's in Rome? Would he stand in front of the White House in Washington, D.C.? Would he stand in front of one of the seven wonders of the world? Perhaps he asked this question when he was in a sandwich line, or standing among the poor, or in a homeless shelter, or in the midst of a protest, or maybe in a hospital where tired medical workers are resting between shifts. People are sick and some even dying. Whatever the case may be, wherever Jesus decided to present this question, he is presenting the question to each one of us today. Who do you say that the Son of God is? The Son of Man, as he puts it, is. And we could say, well, obviously the answer is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But who is he for us? You see, I don't think that we can answer that question with words. I think that the only way we can truly answer the question is with our lives. How do we live every day? What do we show each day? What do we think each day? Do people recognize us as those who bear the name of Christ, as Christians? Granted, none of us are perfect, but if we could just be a little more intentional about how we live our lives, about how we answer that question. Who do you say that I am? You know, often when the gospel is preached, people can become very uncomfortable because for some reason we're under the impression that the gospel is always supposed to make us feel good and we're supposed to leave church happy and uplifted because we're dealing with all that other stuff out there. But you see, we brought all that stuff in here today. It's on our minds, it's in our hearts. And the gospel not always has the intention to be uplifting. Sometimes it's supposed to challenge us. Sometimes it's supposed to correct us. And sometimes it's supposed to irritate us. Because we know full well, at least in my case, I don't always live the way Christ lived. I'm not always the witness that I should be. So I have to confront myself with this question on a daily basis. Who do you say that I am? Well, if I believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then that should make a difference in my life. It should make a difference the way I think and do and say whatever it is I think, do, or say. Today, the challenge is ours. It's okay if you feel a little uncomfortable. It's okay if you don't want to think about Jesus in a sandwich line or with a homeless center. It's okay if you don't want to think about the struggles of our world. You may even want to be confronted by Jesus and say to him, look, I'm happy to tell you who I think you are, but where have you been? Look what's going on in our world. Where are you? He says, oh, so for you, I'm the great magician that's supposed to wave my magic wand and cure all the things that are part of the human condition or that have been created by all of you. Well, Lord, it'd be great if you could help us out. Yep. Well, I sent you my son, and I think you forget that whole image of the cross and how ugly it really is and the pain that he went through to save you from yourself. Well, Lord, then, what do you want? I just want all of you. I want to be reflected in what you think and do and say. Let's ask the Lord today in our prayer here that as we take him into our lives in his word and in the Eucharist and with the strength and the blessing of our community, that we can better witness to the question and make his presence evident to others. He's already risen. It's time that we let people know he's the Christ and that he's the guidance for our life.